Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome to All About Android. This is episode 80, recorded on Tuesday, October 9th, 2012. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Eileen Rivera. It sounded like welcome to Fantasy Island.
Welcome to Fantasy Island. Well, I don't have a sidekick that's much shorter than me to herald that in. Actually, everybody here is shorter than me, maybe not much shorter than me, so I guess that would kind of work. I'm just a tall guy. What can I say? Hey, let's get off this real quick. Hey, we have a guest today, Brady Forrest. You may remember him. He's joined us a few times while he was at O'Reilly, and now Brady is kind of doing his own thing. Brady Forrest, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I left O'Reilly in June, and I've since joined Coastal Ventures, and I'm working on helping companies make it to the next stage.
That's awesome, man. So that's coastalventures.com?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Yep. We'll talk all about that probably at the end of the show. You can plug away and let us know exactly what you're doing with Coastal Ventures and what people can kind of keep an eye on. But before then, we've got a lot of show to get to. We've got a ton of rumors. We went back and forth on whether we should talk about all the rumors, but it's been like a rumor-filled week, so we got to at least talk about them a little bit. Speculation on hardware releases for this quarter, just a number of things, as well as some great apps in the Android arena. So why not waste no more time. Let's jump into our rumors news segment. If I had planned this better, I would have created a video intro that is rumors and not news, because they kind of aren't the same thing.
I was just thinking that. I thought maybe we should just have some text that says rumor.
Yeah.
And just over the news or something.
It's certainly apropos to kind of ask this question. There was something that happened over the weekend that sent a good number of the Android blogs and news sites into kind of a little bit of a tailspin. Basically, it started off with some rumors that just got a lot of coverage, and they all kind of centered around the next version of Android, the next supposed version of Android, 4.2. And they made a lot of interesting claims. Customization center for customizing the devices, a new Google Play, Google Now enhancements, as well as something that was called Project Roadrunner, which was aimed at improving battery performance, something along those lines. Everything sounded nice, and as usually happens, a lot of the sites kind of pick up on these rumors if they're credible, if they're known to be credible enough to run. It turned out this one wasn't necessarily credible. The person that actually sent in the rumor to a number of sites ended up debunking themselves on a post on an Android Police post down in the comments, and just went into a ton of detail about how the rumor was kind of orchestrated, and how even considering all the stuff, the fact that this hoaxer is the name, kind of made all this stuff up, it still kind of made it into the news media and the Android sites. So of course, at the end of the day, Android and Me, which is the site that kind of originally ran the story, kind of apologized for running the rumor. And it kind of leads us to this weird state, which, of course, we as a show are going to end up going backwards on afterwards, because we're going to still talk about rumors. But it's kind of a good question to and discussion to have, is when these rumors kind of hit the news, is it newsworthy? Because news versus what rumors are, which is really just wild speculation and kind of fun storytelling, like, do they deserve to kind of crisscross and end up in the same type of coverage? What do you guys think?
Well, my husband doesn't believe so.
Yeah.
I think you know that. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the iPad mini. I'm like, oh yeah, so those invites are supposed to go out. He's like, yeah, I didn't cover that. I don't want to talk about a possible invite that hasn't come out for a device that isn't even real yet. I was like, oh yeah. I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth with it. If it's for us is a roundtable discussion show. It's kind of nice to kind of like kick around what the possibilities are and maybe talk about what we want, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, jumping off of some of these quote unquote rumors. But you certainly don't want to, you know, stir the pot so much if it's really just way out of context, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Brady?
Well, I mean, I think that's the role of the blogger, the role of press, is to consider where information is coming from and whether or mm-hmm. not it can be trusted. So you, and how likely that idea is. If a person, a blogger, journalist keeps making the wrong calls and keeps reporting things that end up being wrong, they're not going to be in a job for long. But there is a game that the press plays of trying to beat everyone to it. And, you know, Twitter and Facebook definitely play to that and have started mm-hmm. to, you know, make a real difference to some sites. So I think, you know, press, and back when I was blogging for O'Reilly, this was something we always considered. Like, is this person credible? Does this news make sense? And are we framing it appropriately so that we're letting people know that we don't know for sure where this news came from and how true it is? And usually sites are pretty clear about that.
Yeah, and I would say that was the case here. There was a little bit of kind of a haze over the is this a reputable source, where I think Android and Me, you know, claimed like this is a source that we trust. And in the end, the source had never really given them anything before. So there was a little bit of weirdness there where, OK, if you're saying that, you know, they're trustable, but they're not. How do we know that, you know, all of your sources are trustable in that regard? But yeah, I completely agree, Brady. When it comes to this kind of stuff, it's hard to not want to talk and kick it around a little bit, because when you're talking about the future and when you're talking about something that you care about, and I would say that all three of us, at least on this show, care a lot about Android, it's cool to think about where it's going, whether that's based in reality or not. It's still a worthy discussion to say, what are the flaws or what are the things that could be improved, and to consider how important those might be to future devices. And, you know, like you said, framing it in a way where it's obvious that this is not news, and it's not news. Rumors are at its core stories, and they're stories that are unsubstantiated until they're confirmed, at which time they're news. So, you know, who knows? Some of this stuff that we're going to talk about in the next few items in this little block, you know, all this stuff is just rumory stuff. And I think we'll probably, correct me if I'm wrong, Eileen, we'll probably still talk about rumorish stuff if it's intriguing and compelling as we go forward. But it's an interesting discussion to have, and I can understand why some people are very hesitant to want to hear about this stuff, because it's not actual hardcore news. It's cool to talk about.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, we are enthusiasts. We want, yeah. Go ahead, Brady.
I mean, it's fun. And as long as people know that it's not definite, then there's definitely something to it. And rumors do end up being true.
Yeah, exactly. They're not all false. They're not all, you know, generated out of nothing. So along those lines, we should at least point out that parts of this rumor that kind of hit over the weekend were steeped in something that is obvious, that is happening. 4.2 is, as a version of the Android operating system, showing up in server logs all over the place. Android Police kind of had an article about clues about, you know, what 4.2 might be running on. There's just a number of things, like they see this build called the Occam, which they see to be a phone. And if you kind of parse it a little bit more, you get to the Occam's Razor, which is kind of, you know, go ahead and wiki that. I think it's the theory that the simplest answer is usually the right answer, something along those lines. But then, you know, if you parse that out, maybe it's Motorola's, you know, new Razor, or some sort of new Razor that happens to be running 4.2. What's that?
I'm looking at that photo. Sorry. Occam's Razor. Sorry.
Occam's Razor, yes. it's a thing. So parsing these out and finding out the 4.2 are in these server logs, there's also another one that's the Manta build, which is showing up, which, from what I understand, the Zoom code name was Stingray and Wingray. So everyone's like, oh, well, maybe this is a Motorola tablet that's running 4.2. Does this have anything to do with, you know, Nexus, which is kind of on the forefront and right around the corner? So it'll be interesting to see how much of this conjecture actually leads to any sort of reality. But it's pretty safe to say that there is a 4.2 being tested right now, and hopefully we will see what that is very soon.
All right. Well, moving on to more rumors. And Ron is not here to talk about LG. So it's my job since I'm the person who keeps saying, I don't see LG phones anywhere. Well, guess what? The rumor is the new Nexus phone from Google could come from LG. What? Yeah. That's crazy talk, right? Well, there have been some photos that claim that this is the next Nexus. And the rumor out there are some specs like, let's see here, 2 gigs of RAM, quad core, 1280 by 760, true HD IPS screen, 8 megapixel camera. At this point, only 8 gig and 16 gig versions, a non-removable battery, and supposedly wireless charging.
Yeah, hey. inductive charging. And then, of course, the no micro SD card slot, which exactly. I don't know. Personally, I'm used to seeing that. I feel like that's just kind of a trend in the Nexus world, but a lot of people are still very upset by that. I can understand that.
I am fine with that. Just give me a freaking 32 gig unit, please. Yeah. I do not want only 8 and 16. In fact, I would really like a 64, but I know that's asking for way too much. Just give me a 32. How's that? I'll meet the difference. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. I need storage. I have the 16 gig that I'm using, that Nexus that you graciously gave me, Jason. I've got 3 gigs left. And I have been deleting apps. I have been deleting stuff. 3 gigs.
Wow, you got a lot of stuff to store on your phone.
I do, and I'm deleting apps. I'm moving things around. I'm deleting things, and it's still filling up. And I don't put music on my phone. I do some offline,
pictures?
But I do look. No, you know what? I think it's RDO. I think it's because I do a lot of offline.
Okay,
music.
That would do it.
That's filling up, but I'm being very selective on that. So yeah, it still does take space. Okay. Also, CNET is reporting that this LG will be unveiled at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Hooray! For true. Do you have some of those photos of what it looks like, Chad? There's an update. Yeah. What do you guys think about that little back, that little sort of crystallized back there? I'm thinking it's kind of hot, actually.
It definitely looks nice. It's got kind of a glassy, sparkly looking back there.
I kind of like it. Hey, and usually LG is very boxy in their designs, very square, very boxy. And here's, you know, rounded corners and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm digging it so far.
How thin is it?
That's a good question. I don't know if we know that yet. Looking at these photos, it's really hard to get any sort of sense of that the way it's sitting there. It doesn't look particularly thick. Actually, the way it's sitting on the table and then glancing down at my Galaxy Nexus, it definitely looks a little thinner than that, just because the Nexus has like a little, you know, extra thickness down at the bottom versus the top, and that almost looked a little flush. But I don't know. Brady, do you have any experience with LG devices? I've never owned one. So.
No, I've never owned one. I've just handled them. But what I did notice is that there's no mini USB on here, which is kind of scary for the idea of actually managing your files and, you know, taking off images or other things. It means you have to rely on Wi-Fi for that.
Yeah, that would be really hard. It would be hard to expect that they would come out with a Nexus that didn't have that. But yeah, you're right.
I don't see it listed.
Yeah, it's not listed. Maybe that's
but
a gimme. You can't really see it from the screenshots either.
These are all the rumor specs.
Yeah,
right?
These are rumor specs. Oh, you know what? Yeah, actually that one you do see it down to there at the very bottom,
okay,
thankfully.
Good.
Thankfully on that. And then also part of that rumor is a non-removable battery. You know, that's always going to be a sticking point for a large number of people, not being able to pop it out of there. If that is the case, that could be a kind of a disappointment, particularly if the battery's actually not that big to begin with. So,
and also if it's an LTE phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
It better have Razer Max capacity or it's, you know, it's kind of a bummer.
Well, you know, this might not necessarily all, you know, be just about LG. There is still the rumor that the Wall Street Journal had back in May that, you know, it's coming from a pretty reputable source when you get it from the Wall Street Journal, that says that there would be multiple Nexus devices by year end. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we are getting an LG and a Razer, some sort of a Razer Nexus or something along those lines. I guess that remains to be seen.
Well, and that segues in nicely to our next news item, which is that at CNET has learned, and this seems to possibly be worded as not a rumor, which is that there will be a 10-inch tablet that'll be under the Nexus brand, and it'll be partnered with Samsung.
Yeah.
So purposely not, you know, moving away from Asus, who did the Nexus 7 tablet, and going for a really high-end screen. It looks like the cost will be more like, actually, it doesn't say in here, but higher than $199 is what this rumor is saying.
Yeah, because there's, you know, $199 obviously is where the 7 is right now. Yep. The display on this sounds pretty rocking. It's like a 299 pixels per inch compared to the iPad, which is 264. So it bests it there. Is that necessary? Because the iPad has a Retina display, and Retina is Retina, which means you can't perceive pixels. So do you need more? Who knows? You know, Android manufacturers seem to love to play the spec war, though, when it comes to this kind of stuff. So more must be better, right?
You know, I've you know, just like going back to like olden times of mobile phones, a friend of mine worked on mobile devices, and he would go over to Korea to see what the latest was. And this is well before the iPhone or Android came out. And he would be meeting with them talking about screens, and they would just want more colors. Because the phone next to them had 8 million colors and they wanted 16 just so they could have that one one number higher than what, you know, their competitor has. And so we might be hitting that with pixels where it doesn't really matter anymore. Kind of like cameras with, you know, megapixels.
Yeah, right. At a certain point, you end up realizing the megapixels don't matter at all. If the hardware and the lens suck to begin with, then you're just making really bad images, you know, very large. yeah, totally. You see it a lot in the Android world, just the spec race. And we're getting more and more to that point where devices are just going to be well specced to begin with. And like packing on more of these specs really doesn't make that much of a difference. I think we're getting there. I don't know if we're there yet, but I guess that remains to be seen. But that's interesting. I think it's an interesting decision if this is the case for them to go with Samsung at the 10-inch form factor and not Asus, when Asus really made a pretty big hit out of the ballpark with the Nexus 7. Having said that, Samsung has a lot of experience with this 10-inch form factor right now. I guess Asus does as well with their Transformer brand, but Samsung's in pretty good with Android right now, so...
Well, and plus they've been, you know, they rotate through who they work with. They're trying to keep all of their vendors happy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Eileen, you got the email.
Yeah. All right. This comes from Patrick in Louisville, Kentucky. And he says, hey, AAA, after nearly pulling the trigger on buying an iPad, being an Apple fanboy, I balked at the price of the device and looked more closely at the Nexus 7. I've really been excited by Android since Jelly Bean being released and want to jump into the platform. Very good idea. The Nexus 7 looks amazing, and being a Google Apps user is a no-brainer. I'm also finding iOS a little bit stale. And find that Google has really jumped ahead of Apple in terms of software. There is no doubting that Apple make the best. Okay, I'm just reading this. There is no doubting that Apple make the best hardware on the market, though. My question is, with these rumors of new Nexus phones being announced along with the new Nexus 7 32 gig model, should I wait or pull the trigger now on the 16 gig model? Note that I have an iPhone 4S 16 gig model, and because of the cloud, I do not fill the 16 gig up. Patrick Quirk from Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, via England. Okay, so Patrick, you just heard me rant probably a little bit about wanting a 32 gig phone. But I am also in the market to buy a new phone, and I'm so close. I currently use a Galaxy Nexus, but I'm very, very close to pulling the trigger on a Verizon Samsung Galaxy S3. I just want to make sure it has Jelly Bean before I buy it. But now, with all these rumors with the LG Nexus. No, Samsung Galaxy S3. No, oh, you mean, am I thinking about waiting for a Motorola phone? No, I'm looking at the Nexus. I'm looking at the latest possible LG phone. I want to know what the specs are on that. It's getting to be that time of year. It's early October, and all of the new devices are coming out for the holiday season. And this is about the time of the year when Google announces their new flagship phone. So I'm kind of thinking I might wait. So my advice is maybe just wait out another month. I think at the beginning of November, if you can wait that long, then make your decision.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like right now, I mean, particularly when you're talking about 16 versus 32 on the Nexus 7, I mean, more and more hints are popping up that the 32 gig version is actually happening. You know, somebody in Japan was shipped, you know, ordered a 16 gig version and they were sent a 32 gig version. So that kind
I
of
love that.
Makes you scratch your head. I know, you got to love that one. And then there's also 16 gig Nexus 7 reaching end of life status. And so the, in some systems, you know, and brick and mortar stores. So, you know, people are thinking, well, maybe it's being replaced by a 32 gig variant at some point for the same cost potentially. You know, who knows? We're still kind of in that strange little rumor land, rumorville, whatever you want to call it. But,
hey, I have an idea for Patrick. Do you want my 16 gig and I'll just wait for the 32 Nexus 7?
I don't know if you want it, Patrick. I don't know if you want it. I've heard her complain about touchscreen issues. Oh, dang. I wasn't supposed to say that.
I will give you mine because I am having a little bit of touchscreen issues. Today it's okay. Some days it's not, but today it's okay.
Well, before we move on, I do have to make a confession, Eileen and Brad, or Brady, sorry. I had a little fling over the weekend.
You did?
I did.
What?
I don't know why I'm doing this on the show. It's a little awkward, but I did. I had some fun, and I just want to let you know I spent the weekend with a Galaxy S3.
And isn't she a beauty? She's a beauty.
She is. Beauty. I got to say.
She wants you to keep her, I'm sure. No, I'm a keeper.
This is a damn good phone. I really enjoyed this phone this weekend.
Yay! I'm so excited to hear that.
It had been a while since I'd had like that feeling where like every 2 minutes when I'm not playing, this is probably actually a sickness, but it's probably why I do this show too. Every 2 minutes that I'm not, you know, playing with a device and it's sitting at the side of me at the couch, I'm like, you know, you pick it up and then you check it again. Like, it's just, man, it's built so well. And actually, the TouchWiz on it did not bother me as much as I thought it would. I ended up putting Nova Launcher on there just to kind of even it out a little bit. But, man, this thing operates so well, and the design is so great. The camera is pretty good. I got a few blurry photos on it that I wasn't too stoked on. But overall, man, it's hard to leave. It would be hard to leave the Galaxy Nexus, but this is a really good device. Anybody thinking about possibly picking one up, I highly recommend it. Love it.
I think it is the best device out there right now, but it just needs Jelly Bean.
Yeah, it does.
I know South Korea just got it. What, Poland got it, but come on.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Brady?
Why won't you switch?
Well, because I'm cheap, I don't want to. I don't want to buy a device full price.
Because you, my friend, are Mr. Root and ROM, so you can easily get. See, I'm the one who's like, oh, I'm not going to get it until it officially has the update because I don't want to root and ROM anymore. But you do it all the time. No deal.
I mean, for sure, if I did get it, I would be rooting it and throwing like a Jelly Bean ROM on there, and I wouldn't think twice about it. But you know, it's also, as you said, Eileen, it's kind of at that point where things are on the horizon. And if I was really going to upgrade right now, I would still wait it out at least a month just to see what Google has up its sleeve. Maybe they don't have anything up the sleeve, but I kind of believe that they do. So,
But other manufacturers will. It's Christmas time.
Absolutely.
Like they are going to be coming out with products by Black Friday or Cyber Monday, whichever
right.
day of the week you care about more.
So we've got a lot to look forward to in the next few months even. So speaking of awesome hardware, let's get into hardware that actually exists.
So I have gone to my system updates on my Nexus 7, and I keep hitting check now, check, check. I'm doing the run because apparently Android 4.1.2 OTA update is rolling out to Nexus 7 devices, and that'll officially give you landscape. Unless you have Ron's app from several weeks ago, which I have. I can't remember the name of, but you can do a landscape with it. Anybody get the OTA update yet? Because I have been hitting update, nothing.
No.
No?
No, but no? I haven't checked my wife's Nexus 7. It's hers, and she has it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure and she wouldn't even really care enough to actually check for it. So I'm probably going to be the one to like pick it up and be like, update, 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 just to get it on there.
It should just show up, you know, on the home screen, exactly. Say ready for update, but then I'm trying to force the issue. So Landscape finally, which, I kind of thought, wow, why was that never included in the first place? Well, now you have it.
Yeah, now you have it.
Soon.
There's also, I saw a video on your notifications pull down that you can click and hold on a notification with this update and then swipe up and it'll actually collapse. So if you've got all those Jelly Bean expanded notifications open, mm-hmm. you can do that and it'll collapse all of them into a single line. A few minor touches, although this just mm-hmm. kind of came out. So I wouldn't be surprised if we hear a few more things, but don't expect this to be a major update. Google's kind of earmarked it as a very minor and bug release style update. So.
Let us know if you get the update.
Yeah. So this caught my attention over the weekend. I thought it was worth at least bringing up because it poses an interesting question. Long story short, Motorola joined the Android Upgrade Alliance. This was last year, and they were promising to keep newly released devices updated for 18 months after release. That's part of the Upgrade Alliance that you heard a lot about at 2011 Google I.O., and then you've hardly heard anything about since. But anyways, this included the Photon 4G, the Electrify, and the Atrix 4G. All three devices were released last year and fell well under the 18-month upgrade promise of the Alliance. Now, Motorola has said that each of these would at the very least get an upgrade to Ice Cream Sandwich. They've said that in the past. Flash forward to a week ago when Motorola Mobility changed the upgrade announcement for these three devices from Q3 to not happening, and cue riots in the street as all of the owners of these devices cry foul, saying, what does it mean if you're a member of the Android Upgrade Alliance and you decide to renege your commitment on just these three devices? What do you guys think about this? So basically, it is particularly in the case of the Photon 4G, it released with Gingerbread in the summer, and then, of course, this Upgrade Alliance happened in the summer, and it will die with Gingerbread. It will never get any update. Like, that's just, that seems wrong to me.
No? I don't blame the owners. Like, they are right to be pissed. I mean, I've read some of the comments. There are people who bought phones expecting them to be upgraded, and they weren't. I think Motorola probably made an economic decision. They probably are going to, you know, now under their new management, they want to streamline, they want to have fewer devices, and they don't want to keep supporting these older ones. But I think that they are making a long-term blunder, and nobody's going to believe them in the future, even if they do start to make better products. That said, I did check, and you can get Cyanogen. I've seen that there are some Cyanogen mod runs that are working for these phones. So the listeners who have those phones can probably get updates.
Right.
And everybody else is screwed, though.
The majority of the people that don't do that are, like you said, they're just kind of screwed. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. I think you're totally right. Google/Motorola probably just made some sort of line item decision and said, well, you know, it doesn't make sense to spend the time on these. It stings a little bit extra because they said that they would, and then they reneged on that. That coupled with the Android Upgrade Alliance kind of commitment, just really, I mean, they're going to lose a lot of people long term from this. Maybe not a massive amount of people, but anybody that bought these phones that cared enough to know about this stuff is really going to think twice about getting a Motorola device going forward because of this, because that's just, it's a big promise to break. It's unfortunate, but you're right. They could root it, they could ROM it, throw something on there, and fix their problem themselves. And thankfully,
but most people aren't going to do that, though.
Yeah, most people aren't. You're right.
Most people can't do that. Most people have no idea.
True.
But then again, actually, most people probably don't know that this is an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
They have a device and it still calls and it still surfs the internet. It does the things that they need it to do and updates. Yeah, you're right. Updates probably matter more to the same people that would consider rooting or ROMing their device than it does to other people.
As long as it doesn't break. Because that's, you know, that could happen along with other phones where suddenly software stops working because, like, the desktop pair advances and the local phone and the phone software doesn't. I mean, mm-hmm. that happens with iPods and iTunes all the time.
Right. And suddenly it's just not compatible. You know, there's also the other side of this is we talk about this and frame it in the, oh, well, they don't get, you know, they don't get the cool, splashy, you know, look and feel of ice cream sandwiches as a result of this. That's really disappointing. But there are a lot of security upgrades that happen with these updates as well that they don't get. So it's not all just kind of polish, you know. Some of it is actually protection, you know, from a number of things that they've done to build in security into newer versions of the system. So, too bad. Sorry.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
I do. I feel bad for those people.
I know. That would suck.
You know, I'm the one who's saying, hey, I'm not going to get the Galaxy S3 until I know for sure it has JBean in my hands. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these people will never know. They'll never know the advantages of ICS or JellyBean. And some of these apps won't run for them pretty soon.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, they'll end up buying kangaroo pills or whatever the next, you know, a phone that runs that in about a year.
Kangaroo pills.
Is that the official
Wait
next
a minute.
One?
That's not a dessert. Is that a dessert?
Kangaroons. It's a coconut kangaroo-shaped cookie from Australia. And that's the rumor that I've heard.
Kangaroo. That's new to me.
Wait a minute, kangaroo pills? I have to get this right because I think I want to name the show Kangaroo Pills. Kangaroo Pills, the next Android. Excellent. All right, Brady, you have the final article in this block.
All right, and going along to the idea of Motorola, you know, killing off extraneous product lines, Motorola has killed off the Webtop and the LapDock, which was kind of basically like a docking station for your Android phone that turned it into a laptop. And, you know, I always love the theoretical idea of it, the images where, you know, it looks like the Android phone is piggybacking on the, you know, the back of the laptop mother just never really worked for me. It just seems odd. I'd rather have both screens available. And then given the fact that like so many laptops are becoming so small, it's not just you can't even really call the MacBook Air expensive anymore. But formerly relatively expensive MacBook Air, and now tons of other, you know, ultrabook status laptops. It's really not that much of a cost savings or size savings to carry around a dock. You might as well just carry around a full-fledged laptop. And with the integration of various cloud services, both on Apple hardware and, you know, the Chrome browser, you can have a lot of the functionality of your phone at your fingertips while you're working on kind of like a full-fledged machine.
Absolutely.
So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all either. It was I completely agree with you. It was always an interesting idea, isolated to just a certain number of Motorola devices. The implementation, like you said, having the phone dock behind, but then on top of that, it was never as easy as that because they were supporting a wide number of devices. It wasn't just like your phone fits in there and boom, it's on. Like they had this little connector that would kind of shoot out and plug into it. And it just looked weird. Some phones would mount, you know, vertically, some horizontally, and just the aesthetic of it. It's like the concept on paper sounded like it would save you time and save you room in your, you know, bag. Don't carry around a laptop or whatever. But the reality of it was just that, you know, in my experience with it was just that it was, it did the opposite. It actually created more problems than it solved. And, you know, the touchpad on it was never that great. And that's always a big complaint of mine.
So do we think the Asus pad phone is going to fail then? You know, the pad phone, the phone that goes to the tablet that goes into a dock. I can't wait for that, by the way. I'm just curious to see if people actually buy it. But, you know, it's like the, what do you call it? The nesting dolls for gadgets.
The turducken of tablets. I like it. Yeah. What do you think, Brady? Do you think it's a DOA?
Probably. But yeah. I think it'll be, you know, I mean, who knows for sure? If it's implemented correctly and it works and it works better than not carrying around that extra device, then yeah, it'll work better.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
But I'm just,
Yet again, it's kind of playing in the same playing field here. Maybe a little bit less so because it's a little bit less orthodox. But it's kind of doing the same thing where you're like, oh, well, that's cool. And props for trying something new. I never knew I needed that. But I have a feeling it's a little too niche. But I'd be, you know, hey, we have to give Asus some serious props. They've done some pretty cool things with hardware. So maybe they can pull it off. I'd love to see them pull it off. And I'd love to see me in the end go, okay, I have to have one of those for this reason. I don't have that yet. That's where I'm at.
Hey, a lot of people didn't believe in the Galaxy Note because of Dell's streak. True. The Galaxy Note's a runaway hit. That Galaxy Note 2, by the way, I only had a few, like a day to really kind of play with it, is pretty cool. It's faster. You know, it's got pretty much all of the same, features, I guess. A lot of upgrade to the original Note. And screen, it has Jelly Bean, which is awesome.
So it has the Samsung
Touch
version.
TouchWiz
Jelly Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And
does,
I mean, I imagine that's probably very similar to their ice cream sandwich TouchWiz, which is
very
similar to their gingerbread TouchWiz.
It's better than gingerbread slightly.
Yeah.
But there, you know, it took me a little while to figure out how to get to Google Now, but I figured it out. And the stylus is a little chunkier, but not in a, you know, horrible way. It's still pretty light. And I don't know. It seems like people who loving the Note or were curious about the Note, this one is a fairly good upgrade. So
cool. All right, well, let's take a look at a few emails. Actually, we had a couple of people write in about our discussion last week around re-rating apps or going back to apps that had like that somebody gave one star and giving them a reason to go back to it. Ryan from Boise writes in and says, I can't help but wonder if there's a better way to handle this from the Google side. What if app reviews were broken up by device by default? Have a toggle to show overall versus ratings for your particular device. If as a person buying an app, I can see that everybody buying the app who has my device has given it a 5-star review, that is much more persuasive than just the general list of all users who may or may not be running my device, ranting about how terrible the app performs on their three-year-old MyTouch. I think that's a very valid point. It would be great to be able to break it out by device. And I know that they're kind of building that kind of functionality into Google Play in certain ways where you can kind of isolate it to your own devices, you know, things that are installed on which device and stuff like that. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to build that in. And then Jared Lissette also wrote in and said, the best way to get people to return and re-rate or change their review after an improvement is to wait or weigh newer results more. If your 1-star or 5-star review becomes worthless over time, you may come back to update it, even if you keep the same rate. That this also would keep people viewing an accurate current rating of the app, not an old rating. Yeah, I don't know if that would influence people to come back unless they actually knew that their rating expired and they actually still cared about it. But it would be very effective in the sense that the rating that you see at any given time is more current. I just don't know in the world of ratings how that is perceived by a large number of people that old ratings would die off for whatever reason. But but I think there are a couple of interesting kind of ideas around improving the rating system on Play and possibly making them better. If there's anyone listening that could do anything about that, take those into consideration. We'd appreciate it. And thanks to Ryan and Jared for those ideas. All right, let's jump into the apps.
I'll go first, and if you have a Google TV, you may have received an update. I have not, just like I'm updating my Nexus, I have not received the latest Google Play update, which allows you to purchase movies and music and gives you a whole different look of the store on your TV. So keep checking. You might have it. And the biggest thing is that you don't have to purchase your movies and music from a different device. You can do it straight from your TV now, which is awesome.
So wait. Okay. So I do not have a Google TV. I'm so like obviously stupid when it comes to Google TV stuff. And I need to rectify that by getting something so that I can actually talk about it from my own experience. But before this, you had to make all of your purchases on your device and you couldn't do it through the TV.
Yeah, I can't do it right now. Yeah, I can't go into the music or movie store right now and do that.
That's interesting.
I'm just waiting, and now you know you'll have the kind of the store that you well, it's on that article there. It doesn't my store does not look like that. Yeah. It looks really different. It has apps that I could purchase, but only specific Google TV apps, and that's it. But I can go into the music app and play my music, but I can't purchase stuff. If that makes sense, I can go and to YouTube and play my purchases, my movie purchases on YouTube. App, but pretty soon I'll be able to just do it all from the TV. So wow. It didn't really matter to me, honestly. I didn't really think it as an issue. Mostly because at the time I hadn't really been buying a lot of movies and TV on Google TV, but now they've added a lot more like Fox, and they've added a lot more content. Just today, they're giving out free, in case you haven't watched, or maybe you just want to own it. You can own Pilot for The Walking Dead. It's available free at the Google Play Store. So I hit download. Now I have it.
You own it forever.
I own it forever. And with the new update, I could have bought it on my TV, but I did buy it on the computer, and now I can watch it on my TV. Very, very excited. So I think with more content coming around, and there's lots more music content, all of that stuff, it's going to make more sense.
Yeah.
Before, I hadn't been buying a lot of content, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
So it's good timing. Good timing for Google to add this.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like a no-brainer. Brady, do you have a Google TV? And if so, what do you have?
I do not. I just have a projector and I hook it up to a laptop.
That works too.
Pretty simple TV situation at my place.
Yeah. Excellent.
And that probably happens once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Max.
If you can carve out the time to watch anything, that's the issue I run into. I'd love to get a Google TV. Even if I had one, I probably still wouldn't watch it because I just have no time to watch stuff.
If I did, I would probably watch more. And which would not necessarily be a good thing.
Right.
Which is why I don't.
Understood. All right. You got this next app, Brady.
All right. Well, TomTom is coming to Android. They are releasing a turn-by-turn navigation app for Android. It'll run on 2.2 or higher. And devices with an 800 by 480 or 854 by 480 resolution. And it supports U.S., Canada, Western Europe, and a number of other countries, and multiple languages. The cost for two packages mentioned are $50 or £40. You know, this is TomTom's first time coming to Android. They've been on the iPhone for years now. In fact, sold a separate hardware accessory to improve the GPS.
Oh, okay.
And yes, commenter, Nick Geek, they are going up against the in-house contender, Google Maps, and that's probably why they didn't come for a long time. But now that they no longer have kind of a clear shot at being the main turn-by-turn navigation app on the iPhone, and they probably had some special deal with Apple around that, I think they've probably decided to go the Kindle route and just be on as many devices as possible. And this will help improve their data because they have the connections from all the users and they're basically moving more and more towards software as a service.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly, smart that they do this eventually. It's the way everything is moving. Google Maps navigation, I was using it earlier today. I mean, it's such a strong app. It's one of the killer kind of features of Android, just built right into it for free. I think the leg up that you get here is the offline maps aspect of it. Now, Google Maps and Google Navigation does have offline map capability, but you are a little limited. I think you're limited to whatever area around a particular location that you can store that falls under, I think, 50 megs of storage. And so you could store individual pieces like that, and maybe that covers the place that you're going. And I did that once camping. It worked fine. But if you're going to a really dense city, storing the entire city is going to be really difficult because 50 megs fills up pretty quickly when you've got all that information stored in it. So with this, you're paying a chunk, but you're getting the entire map data. And we're talking gigs of data stored on your device so that when you go to Europe, someplace in Europe, you've got that entire country that you're visiting stored on your device and you never have to worry about being connected. So there's definite value there. For sure. I would love to play around with this. Let's see here. Google is finally, they are publishing. That's one complaint I have with this thing. When it buzzes at you, it's like a 10-second buzz. That's exaggeration, but it's like 3 long seconds.
Wait, what's buzzing at you right now?
A notification comes through on this, and it's almost as if the phone is ringing. It freaks me out every time.
But you could change that.
Yeah, I know you can change it, but, you know, I obviously didn't.
Well,
I should have done
that. I'm a supporter of that phone. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, you can fix that. No problem.
Sorry about the distraction there. Google published a bunch of guidelines, actually a tablet app quality checklist for developers to entice them to create more tablet-friendly applications. Obviously, the Nexus 7 has kind of been a boon for Android tablets, and they want to encourage more people, more developers, to make their apps tablet-friendly. So this is kind of a cool little checklist, a step-by-step checklist. I just thought, oh my God, noob complaint. Raygun01. Yeah, it's true. That probably was. Step-by-step checklist of all the things that a developer can do to improve their apps and make them perform well on the tablet layout. And I love seeing this stuff. I really have been happy that Google has kind of took more of an active step into saying this is how you create good apps and good experiences on the Android platform. And I hope that it only continues to improve and make things easier for developers so that it isn't like they're just stepping into a dense field and trying to navigate their way around without any help. This is good stuff.
Seems to me that they probably had to wait for Andy Rubin to turn the corner on tablet apps, because not too long ago he was talking about how, why would you need to write for phone and tablet? It's fine on both experiences. He's mentioned, he said that before, and yeah. I just looked at him like, what are you talking about? It's completely different on a tablet, even a 7-inch tablet, compared to your phone. There's just so much space available that just sort of, makes the app less appealing on a larger device. So I'm really glad to hear this, but I think maybe they had to get him to come around, maybe, on their case.
Coerce him.
Yeah. Because he was saying that not too long ago, and I just looked at him like, dude, I like you, but no.
No. Hey, do you think this is Matthias stepping in?
I think so. I'm guessing that maybe him or his team collectively has said, it is a different experience. So we should change that for the user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Eileen, you have the voicemail.
We have a voicemail from Chris, who complains that my app from last week, Open Garden, is blocked. What? Do we hear that?
Hey, AAA crew. This is Chris calling from Florida. I just wanted to call in response to your Open Garden app that you did on your challenge. And I tried to download it, and when I clicked on it, and it says, this item is not available on your carrier. And my carrier is AT&T. So I don't know if too many people are going to be able to download it if they're on AT&T. If you're able to do it on your Verizon, you got lucky. AT&T's already got it blocked. So just wanted to let you guys know. Thanks, and love the podcast.
Hey, Chris. So I have AT&T, and I don't know if it's because my phone is unlocked that I'm able to download it. I was able to download it straight from the store. But Corey Mills had responded on our poll and said, Open Garden, I'm just going to read his whole thing. Open Garden has accomplished something I've been trying to do for a while, get around AT&T's tethering restrictions. Seriously, $20 more a month. Love it. Also, download the APK by visiting Open Garden in a browser directly, because AT&T restricts the download directly via the Play Store. So that should be an option for you, Chris, and for those of you at AT&T or AT&T customers who want to try out the app. So try sideloading. Downloading the APK and, or you don't have to sideload, just download the APK straight from the site and give it a try.
There you go.
I met with the Open Garden folks about a year ago at Android Open, where we talked about this.
Yeah. I picked them, didn't I? I think I picked them for to win. Mm-hmm. We talked about this last week when I reviewed their app and I saw them, and it's pretty good. pretty well thought out app, I think. Right, Brady?
Well, I mean, they were saying that carriers love them. That was my biggest feedback to them as well. And sorry, I'm so dark. I thought the sun has changed angle on me.
It has.
You're on Predator. No. they claim the carriers love them because they were useful in low bandwidth areas, which seemed like the type of fix that carriers were not going to wait around, like would want a third party to help them with. But So I'm not surprised to hear that there's problems, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure carriers are wanting to block them, but there are ways around that.
There always seem to be. Well, speaking of Open Garden, let's jump into the arena and see how last week's poll went.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom! Oh, man, this was a really close week. This is like about as close as they get.
Did Ron win?
It was a three-horse race.
Oh, you ain't. You won.
Yeah, better than expected wallpapers came in first with 35%. Open Garden, a close second at 33%. And Goji, a third place at 31%. I mean, it was a three-horse race the entire week long. Earlier today, Open Garden and Better Than Expected were tied when I opened it up. This was at like 11.
Really?
Yeah, they were absolutely tied. I was like, well, this could go anyway. So... that's great. I love it when it's that close because that means we had three great apps that people were divided on. So that's awesome. So then that would mean that Eileen is up.
Should I go first?
Yes.
Okay. So my app this week, and Jason, you reminded me that I do like this app because I was actually going to do this app last week and got distracted by Open Garden. My app is from a developer. I'm looking up a developer name from Mobage, and it's called Pocket Planes. Those of you guys who I introduced Tiny Tower, I don't know, several months ago. It's essentially the same developer, same kind of deal, but this time you are flying planes, you're dropping off cargo in various cities. And it's sort of the thing about Pocket Planes, I think that makes it addictive is when you level up, have more planes, you have more cargo, you have more options. I think if you like travel, to me, it's a very sort of soothing, easy, casual game to play. You could leave down, you could, you know, put it away for a while and pick it up later. There's no like, real deadline or anything like that. And essentially, I don't know if you downloaded it yet.
I'm trying Jason. To sign in through Facebook. it's taking me forever.
The thing about it too is that it just has a natural... when you play the game, it sounds like you are on a plane. And you hear sort of like, you know, the rumble of a plane, you know, like just the wing noise, the call light, you know, when somebody taps that, you have those same kinds of natural noises. And there's no music to this. Tiny Tower has music, it has a constant soundtrack. This is just the plane. So you start off with... some planes here. Oh, you're watching the video now. There's many kinds of planes. You have to level up to get some of those really cool planes with many, many passengers there. But essentially what you do is you just take cargo from city to city, whether it be a person or an item. And the more points you get, the more cities you can unlock. And then you travel across the globe. It's just a very easy kind of soothing I don't know, casual game that just kind of you customize. You can customize the plane, you customize the people, and it just kind of, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain the addictiveness of it, but certainly if you've played Tiny Tower, like some here, Elif Fulin has 108 floors, you know, that guy's been playing quite a bit. So essentially you could have, you know, I don't know, 30 planes going, you know, across the world, dropping off in Jakarta and, you know, moving on to Osaka and so on and so on. And so on. I thought about this game and I thought, God, how am I going to explain this? Because you really just need to play with it. You need time. You need to just, you know, kind of take cargo from one city to one city, and then just watch how long, and all of a sudden lots of time has passed, and you realize, wow, I've been playing this game for a very, very long time. There's some cooperative play. There's stores you could buy bucks. They have in-app purchases and things like that. When you level up some of your planes, when you have better planes that have bigger range, you can throw your old planes in a hangar and sell them for parts. You could even build planes by buying parts. It's actually pretty fun. I know it sounds weird, but it's really fun. And then sometimes there's some cooperative play. There's events here. So when you play events, you join a team, you get more points, you unlock, blimps or other kinds of planes, and it just kind of keeps going and going. It's a little 8-bit looking, just like Tiny Tower. You buy airports, you upgrade your airports to get more jobs, to get more planes out in the air and more people transporting them from one place to another. Have I sold you yet on this? It's a very different kind of casual game, which I think is a lot of fun. And I think once you kind of start playing with it, you get a little tutorial on all kinds of planes that are out there. I'm not very versed in airplanes and parts of airplanes, and you get to learn a little bit more. And I like travel. I like maps, so I like kind of plotting. Right now, I started my city in Japan. So I'm branching out into Russia now, and I'm going to, some cities are more expensive than others. For instance, like Shanghai would cost me like 50,000 points, 51,000 coins. I don't have that yet. Whereas a small country like Nanping, if I can ever, will cost me like 10,000 points. So you just kind of build and build, and actually when you get more higher level cities, you get more coins when you drop off your cargo and your people, and it goes on and on and on and on, and you can play forever. It's a game that never ends.
Excellent.
So that's Pocket Planes by Mobage, and I think it's very soothing. Tiny Tower helped me through some of the most intense parts of Breaking Bad. If you have like a Nintendo that you're watching, you can play this game along. It'd be your second screen, and just kind of go, oh, maybe this will kind of calm you down in those intense moments of a movie or a TV show or something like that. I do use these games for that very thing. So
I love how that was kind of like a confessional, like, man, Tiny Tower really helped me through some really bad moments of Breaking Bad.
There's some intense scenes, man.
Yeah, well, no argument there. I completely agree. I needed a Tiny Tower, and I just didn't have it. Maybe I'll replace it with Pocket Planes. Cool. So that is Pocket Planes. It is free in the Play Store. Excellent. All right, Brady, you are up next, and I think I have your app all installed. So go ahead and talk about it, and I'll see if I can keep up.
All right. Atooma. A-T-O-O-M-A. It's kind of like If This Then That, but very stylishly designed for your Android phone. And you can go in and you can create tasks for yourself, or you can grab tasks that have already been created. So it knows where you are, it knows the date, it knows the time. So if you go to wall, Jason,
okay,
you'll see like when driving, read incoming SMS with text to speech. And then you kind of see if GPS is at a certain speed, then do text to speech.
Yeah, if messages, SMS received, GPS speed. Okay. So there's a little bit of parsing as far as like what the order is. I see. So it's just an if-then style approach.
Yep. And so it's very simple. Just kind of like Tasker, but like this interface quite a bit. And go back, you kind of have it steps through with you. If you do My Atooma, you have your choice of triggers, data, mobile apps. In the future, it'll be actions or objects. You could picture having kind of a connected situation going on in the future. And if you hit mobile, you've got a bunch of different statuses for your phone. If you select a battery, you could say if plugged.
Battery, if plugged, do. Oh. Maybe I did that wrong. Battery, where are you, battery? I love it. This is kind of a cool interface. I like it a lot.
Although obviously it's not working for you right now. but like very simply, like I just found, if battery plugged in, then tweet a message. And so it allows people to create these mini apps.
No, it worked. You're now selecting the thing
I'm now
to do.
Yes, yeah. I see what it is. So now I'm in do. So I've already selected battery as the condition. And then what? What
app?
Launch an app.
And then tweet, Twitter. Post a tweet.
Ah.
And you can put in the message. My phone is getting juice or whatever. You know, you may not want to do that, but you know, that's certainly more interesting than people tweeting their weight from their WeThings phone or scale.
My phone is being a tumud. Actually, you know what I'd rather say is it's not a tumor.
Oh, there you go.
It's not a tumor. This is really cool. I like the interface a lot. That's, you know, Tasker is really, really powerful. It's just the interface can just be very confusing. It's not the easiest interface to tackle. This one actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and these are two guys out of Italy. Just kind of released it. It's in soft beta right now. So
that
check it out.
Is cool. Yeah, and so then equal, and then boom. And then I give it a title, hi, for speed's sake. All right, and then tag your Atuma battery. I'm going through the whole thing here. I want to see where we get. And then is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so then I'm done. All right, cool. That's great. So that is called Atuma. It's beta in the Google Play Store. You can get the beta for it. What's
it really
up,
sounds
Eileen?
Like a, it just sounds like you said Atuma.
Atuma. I know. Once you hear it that way, it's hard to go back.
It's a great app. No, I'm not laughing at the app. I'm laughing at the way we say it. Atuma.
It is not Atuma. Actually, it is Atuma. Okay, so that's awesome. That's Atuma, and it is free in the Play Store as well. My app is also free, and it's a pretty straightforward app, but I imagine it'll save some of you out there from losing something forever. It's called Dumpster. And it is a recycle bin for Android. So, you know, it's like a recycle bin for your computer, whatever. If you have it installed, you don't even know that it's working behind the scenes. You can set it up to capture pictures, video, and what am I missing? One more thing, music files. So you can basically, anything that you delete manually. So I'm going to go ahead and delete this picture and this picture. Go ahead and send it to delete the selected items from my gallery. They're gone. And, you know, normally I wouldn't know where to find these if I wanted to restore them. So I'll go ahead and go out to my desktop here, or my home screen, not desktop, launch Dumpster, and we should see both of those images that I just deleted. You can go ahead and pull it up and preview it if you want, and it'll give you a full screen preview. And if you want it, you hit restore, and boom, it moves out of here and back to wherever you deleted it from. Music, videos, and picture files. And it'll delete all these. It'll just keep a long list of these, so you can set it so that it, you know, it flushes out and cleans out your deleted items after a certain time, or keep them forever. It also tracks documents. But I just thought it was kind of cool. Once I saw this, I was like, I guess I use a recycle bin on my computer all the time. It would be handy to have this on the phone. And considering that it's just kind of working in the background, you kind of forget that you have it installed. It's a nice safety net to just have there, tracking all the things that you delete. And then if you ever find yourself in a situation where you've deleted something, you want to grab it and recover it, use Dumpster. There really isn't a whole lot to say about this. It's pretty straightforward. It does show that they are working to add contacts and SMS text messages to the restore functionality. So they do have that kind of on the horizon. It does not require root. This is no need to root your device, no internet connection needed. It automatically just kind of keeps track of the things you delete and allows you to restore them later. So that is Dumpster. Pretty straightforward. Dumpster recycle bin. It's free in the Google Play Store. So that is it for this week's.
This app should come standard issue for any phone under 32 gigs.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Maybe this would help me with a freaking 16 gig phone.
Well, then I guess you should get it, and then you should vote.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to get it and see if it helps me, my storage issues.
All right, so it's time for you to vote for your favorite app from this week's arena. Is it Pocket Planes, Atuma, or Dumpster? And before I give you the URL for this, I just want to give a big thanks to Nahir Marzaria, who set up a new link shortening system for the arena. For the arena specifically. So if you go to aaapoll.com/80. aaapoll.com/80. He was like, I'm sick and tired of your poll URLs always changing. I don't know why you guys do that. So I bought this URL and I set it up, and here are the admin privileges, and you just go nuts. And to which I said, thank you. So going forward, aaapoll.com/80 for this episode, so you can let us know which is your favorite app that we covered in the arena this week. Early returns are in, folks, and it appears that Atuma is well in the lead.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Atuma's great. I actually downloaded it, and then I was going to play with it, and then you picked it, Brady.
It is Atuma. This week, it is Atuma. That much is true. We'll see how this all pans out over the course of the week, but early returns are showing Atuma is performing very well, so... good job, Brady. What way to pick a winner in the arena. Brady, it's always awesome having you on the show. Thank you for agreeing to come back and visit us again. It's been great.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So this is your chance to kind of plug away on, you know, plug anything that you have in the works, anything that you have going on at Coastal Adventures or whatever you like. Go for it.
Well, as always, I have kind of two things going on. I've got Ignite, which is the geek event that I started back in the day with Bree Pettis, and I'm still involved with Ignite Seattle. Our next one is coming up in the beginning of November. I think it's November 8th. And then I moved to San Francisco, so I'm starting up Ignite SF, or helping out the team really at Ignite SF. And we'll be doing the first one of those in a while, the first week of December. So we'll be looking for speakers in that case. And at COSLA, and we do a lot of work in sustainability, food, and internet. So if you're doing something interesting in one of those three areas, feel free to contact me via Twitter or some other method.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much again for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's always a lot of fun. Thank you.
Awesome. We'll be in touch once more for another episode. Eileen, from your house. Go ahead
from
and plug.
My house.
Plug from your house.
Plug. Brady, welcome to the Bay Area. And you can find me at about.me/EileenRose or on Twitter at EileenTV. I'll be there next week in studio. Sorry, I wasn't there this week, but I will be there along with Ron. We'll both be there.
So. Excellent. We'll be reunited in the studio.
That's right. That's,
hey, this is why we have Skype. Skype enables us many cool things when it works. So it worked perfectly today. You can find me on the Twitters. I'm at Jason Howell, or you can visit about.me/Jason Howell and find all my other ways of stuff going on. But that's it for this week on All About Android. You can leave us a voicemail. You can do so at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email and attach a link to that email to a video that you've posted on YouTube. Wink, wink. Send that to aaa@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find past episodes there, as well as iTunes, YouTube, number of places. We're all over. And you can catch us live. If you want to catch the live show, be part of the live chat. That's every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.